Good morning. Can you hear me? My name is Aaron Trella. The scripture reference for this morning will be Psalm 13. That is page 557 in the Children's Bible, beginning in verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Father, you are good. Father, you've shown to us the ways that you are just, the ways that you are holy. But God, the ways that you've dealt bountifully with us. Father, we don't deserve anything but wrath. But Lord, you show your mercy to us in the ways that you've saved us. Father, I pray now that the words that I say, Father, that it be completely and fully from you. Lord, that any eloquence that I may have in my speech, God, Lord, based upon my own abilities, let it fall on deaf ears. And Father, let the only thing that I communicate be your word. Father, I love you. I pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen. Picture a young man, 21, sitting in his car with tears in his eyes. In the midst of the hardest time of his life, he is stuck with no one to turn to and no one to confide in. He tried for so long to please the people around him, to find some sort of fulfillment in his life. But after the divorce of his parents and the loss of focus on his responsibilities, he felt all alone. Recalling a conversation with a friend about Psalm 13, he takes out his Bible, reads it, and he weeps. He reads it again, picks up an instrument, and sings through the psalm. All his life, he's dealt with some sort of feelings of abandonment and anxiety. With a shaky and muttering voice, he turns to the Lord and cries out, "How long?" We'll come back to that young man, but let's first focus on another young man, David. In our psalm today, David finds himself feeling the same way. As we read and reflect on this passage, let's be reminded that we as Christians are promised to weather the storm. That there is a promise that we're going to have to go through some kind of difficulty. Now, every cry of how long begins with a problem. Let's see the problem David lays out for us. So first we're going to read Psalm 13, 1 through 2. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Now, if you plan on taking notes with us today, we're breaking down this sermon into three different points. The first point being the problem. Charles Spurgeon once said, about Psalm 13. If the reader has never yet found occasion to use the language of this brief ode, he will do so ere long. If he be a man after the Lord's own heart. Spurgeon understood that David, a man credited as being after God's own heart, can be relatable. That anyone who seeks after God can struggle with various problems. The king, the ruler, the man who found favor in the Lord's sight wrestled with the question, how long? And isn't this relatable? Don't we also struggle with the question, this question that we face with our problems? Today we'll look at our problem in three different elements. The first being the feelings of abandonment. Verse 1 says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Throughout Scripture, David faces all kinds of feelings of abandonment. But one of the biggest ways that he struggles with this is with his family. Out of bitterness and hatred, Absalom, David's own son, tried to overthrow his own father. In 2 Samuel 15 through 19, Absalom tries multiple times to overthrow David as king. Absalom raised his own army to challenge and to take away David's authority over Israel. And if this does not feel like abandonment from your own family, I don't know what does. The first verse paints a clear depiction of how David feels in these moments, how it is easy to believe the lies of this world. And this world feeds us different lies to believe that we're truly alone. So I ask you, do you feel abandoned? Maybe you're here today and you feel abandoned. Maybe even by your own family as well. Maybe you're here struggling with a particular sin or an ailment that you're diagnosed with, and it feels like God isn't picking up the phone. These questions are lies many Christians wrestle with because the enemy wants you to feel isolated and to be isolated. However, the problem David faces is not abandonment, but maybe not just abandonment, but maybe it's from what we see in verse 2. The next element of the problem that we're going to highlight is a feeling of anxiety. Verse 2, first part of verse 2 says, how long will I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? David points out the ways he struggles with what we call today anxiety, as taking counsel in his own soul. These anxious thoughts are in David's life because of the ways he trusts in himself. We see in Scripture the way David places counsel within himself. As an example of David's self-counsel leading to destruction, consider Bathsheba. David laid eyes on a married woman and decided in his fleshly nature to sleep with her. We later see David command Joab to send Uriah on the front lines to kill Uriah. And within this cover-up, David found himself with a lot of worry and killed a man because of his own self-preservation. And while there is legitimate concern about diagnosed anxiety, we can all relate to how our flesh can cause us to be anxious because of our own desires. Now, a man supreme and rich with wisdom, or as some of you may know, as Jared Rogley once said, when we think of enemies, the first thing I need to look at is the mirror. So as believers, we often look at our own problems as being outside of ourselves. But we often forget to see that maybe we are the problem. Our inherent natural desire as fallen man is to turn to sin. This is because of our flesh. And this leads us to have anxious concerns within ourselves. And this causes us to lose our focus on the anointed one, And think of Peter walking on the water. As he had his eyes fixed on the Lord, he got distracted by the circumstances because of his own self-preservation. He looked around and saw the waves and became concerned for himself and fell into the water. Even a man who walked with Jesus trusted in himself, and he sank. While we have seen the ways that we have looked at abandonment and anxiety, let's now look at the last element of the problem, attack. The second half of verse 2 in Psalm 13 says, "How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" David is a man who has dealt with many different attacks from his enemies. And one of his greatest enemies is a jealous ruler, Saul. Saul, at every turn, did what he could to kill David and to take back the hearts of the nation of Israel. And while the attacks of David's enemy were seen in flesh and blood, we face a different reality. Our attacks can be seen from the greatest enemy, Satan. And these attacks can be seen in different ways. Maybe in the inconveniences of life. I lost my keys again. The line at Target is just a little bit too long today. Or one that kind of hits home for me a little bit. I have to pay my taxes again. We can see the Lord attack us in many different ways, both in the inconveniences, but also in ways that can cut much deeper. Maybe you're here today and you're failing at your job, or you're failing in classes. Maybe there's some serious doubts about your faith that you're wrestling with. Maybe the health of your loved one isn't getting any better, even though you've prayed for them. No matter what the attacks are, Satan's goal is to steal from us, to kill us, and to destroy us. And our efforts are not enough. But we must look to the Lord as our fortress in the midst of these attacks. As the attacks of the enemy continue to be a problem in our lives, Scripture points us to how we should respond. If you're taking notes with us this morning, we've seen the problem, and now let's look at the plea. Verses 3 through 4 state, "Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken." David makes a plea to the Lord to consider him in the midst of his problems. "Enlighten my eyes" is a plea to remind him of the Lord's faithfulness. We see in this passage that David's plea is rooted in remembrance of all that the Lord has done. Furthermore, when David states, "I will sleep the sleep of death," we see that without God, there is no hope. But he turns to the Lord to deliver him. David knows that the Lord has delivered him before. And he is confident that the Lord will remain faithful to eventually deliver him in the midst of persecution. And David's great example should lead us to ask the question, where do we turn to when times get hard? Do we turn to our family or to our friends? Do we turn to the distractions of this world? Do we even turn to our own abilities and capabilities to get us out of this place of brokenness? I think it's safe to say that we have all struggled with disappointment based upon our own efforts. Because others will fail us and we will fail ourselves. So Christians, be reminded today that we have all that we need in the grace and mercy that he bestowed upon us. Remember his faithfulness. And some may ask, why can't I be delivered immediately? If God is completely loving, why doesn't he just take away the pain when I ask him to? Christians in the room, I have to ask you, what do we deserve? Do we possess the right to say that we don't deserve suffering? No, As rebellious people, we do not deserve anything but the wrath of God. We are broken and completely depraved. We have nothing good in our nature. How much pride must we have to think that we hold the right to be without pain? And our plea should not be rooted in this false idea that we deserve to be without suffering, but instead it should be rooted in a desire to bring glory to God. So now let's consider the young man from the beginning again. He had already placed his faith in Christ many years ago, yet he was still struggling with his problems. He thought that this prayer would result in absence of suffering. In the depths of his pain, he constantly wrestled with this feeling that he deserved something, that he was entitled to be without his problems. However, the Lord revealed himself to this young man through the way David was reminded of the Lord's provisions. Now, back to the notes again. The next point is going to be the provisions. Let's look at Psalm 13, 5 through 6. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. So after the plea, David is joyful because of who God is and what he has done. I have trusted in your loving kindness. David is reminded of God, of who God is in his character. He's a loving father who cares for his children. He's gracious and merciful and willing to act in David's life. And in the same way that David is reminded of the Lord's loving kindness, how can we be reminded of his loving kindness in our own lives? Let me ask you, are you breathing? Can you think? Did you wake up this morning? God displays his loving kindness through his common mercies in letting us be alive. It's his mercy. And we don't deserve these gifts, but he gives them to us each and every day. To further this point, let's look at what St. Augustine once said. Suppose, brethren, a man should make a ring for his betrothed, and she should love this ring more wholeheartedly than the betrothed who made it for her. Certainly let her love his gift, but if she should say the ring is enough, I do not want to see his face again, what would we say of her? The pledge is given to her by the betrothed, just that. In his pledge, he himself may love. But God then, has given you all these things. Love him who made them. The Lord has given us everything that we need in him. It is by his grace. Yet we forget about it often because we think that we're entitled to everything. And we often don't make time to acknowledge or love the grace of the Lord, yet he gives more grace. We've seen how he has shown his character to us in our lives, but let's see what he's done. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. God has saved David and has given him in abundance what he has needed. And how well is it that we can experience, how beautiful is it that we can experience this saving grace as well? And if nothing else I can cling to as a prize, it is the gift of salvation. And this gift that we can do nothing to earn. David seems to understand that. The Lord has dealt bountifully with us, not just through salvation, but he's also given us different gifts. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. He's given us a faithful community. He's given us everything that we need to flourish and to thrive in a dying and decaying world. No longer is David sitting and wallowing through the problems he must face. Instead, he responds with joy despite the circumstances, knowing that they may never go away. We cannot estimate whether or not we deserve deliverance based upon our works either. We should instead shift our focus on God's provision and who he is. He's sovereign. He's in control of everything. He will receive glory in any and every circumstance because his glory demands it. And although it may come later than we would like, God's deliverance is far better than any immediate deliverance that we could ever have. As James says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and that endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." And though there is pain, the provisions of the Lord still bring comfort. Some of the provisions can be seen in sanctification. We can rejoice because the trials and difficulties of this life is making us more like Christ. This is by means of grace and not of our own efforts. And if the Lord does choose to provide for you to take away the struggles and the problems of your life, he's just and merciful and gracious for doing so. Let our prayer be rooted in his name, for his name to be glorified and honored. Now let's see the ways that this passage points to Christ. David struggled with a relatable question: how long, O Lord? It's important for us to follow, not only in his example, but in Christ himself. Jesus is the fulfillment of this passage in every way. Let's examine the areas in which David failed and in the areas in which Christ prevails. David fell into temptation, but Jesus, when tempted at his weakest moments, never sinned. But Christ, David found himself in a place where he should not have been. But Christ, being the groom of the church, has never and will never cheat on his bride. David was abandoned by his own family, but Jesus willingly suffered the wrath of God as the Father turned his face away for our salvation. In every way that David failed, Christ displays that he is the true and better king. Jesus lived the perfect life and has given us every reason to trust him, to trust him as our Savior, and to remember him in the midst of our anxieties. We can rest easy at night, knowing that the Lord is our refuge from the attacks of our enemy. Christ entered into our problems, and Christ is our plea because he is our perfect provision. He is enough. And if you came today not believing this to be true, this message is for you. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." May today be your day. Turn your eyes to Christ. Now, going back to that young man at the beginning, picture him, instrument in hand, with the weight of the world on his shoulders. He's been carrying this burden for quite some time. His burdens are his struggles with feelings of abandonment, anxiety, and attack. He tried so hard to overcome these feelings on his own, However, he later found that his efforts were not enough. He was in need of a greater love. He discovered that the deliverance through these difficult times was within the Lord's timing instead of his own. He discovered that the peace he can cling to was not found in the absence of his problems, but that he can enjoy this joy despite his circumstance, that he can cling to it. I praise God that he's shown kindness to this man, because that young man would not be standing here before you today telling you his story and giving the sermon had the Lord not considered and dealt bountifully with him. Will you pray with me? Father, oh, what a joy it is to cling to you, to trust you. Father, to know that these circumstances, God, that they will not be forever. And God, that we can cling to you in the midst of them. Father, though we yearn for a time when we will not have to go through these difficult times, Lord, we know that it's a reality that we have to face to go through these hard times, to go through these difficulties. But Father, I praise you for your loving kindness. Father, I pray that you deal bountifully with us by your grace and your mercy, God, to bask in the joy of salvation. I love you. And I pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.